Live on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, it's time for Q&A with DJ Phone. Today's program is sponsored by Yavapai Regional Medical Center, High Country Rec Fee Center, Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Northern Arizona Vein Center. Now, here's your host for Q&A, DJ Phone.
And welcome to the Tuesday edition of Q&A. Boy, do we have an interesting one for you today. If you are a fan of World War II battle stories, we have just a man to talk to you. His name is Francois Gautron, and he has written a book about the role of gliders in World War II. He is a real World War II battlefield expert. He houses a personal library of more than 500 World War II books, and he has written to and spoken with hundreds of veterans from World War II. So we really look forward to talking to him in just a couple of minutes. Then after the bottom of the hour news and weather break, our buddy Jim Natal, the editor and publisher who coordinates the Literary Southwest series between Yavapai College and Peregrine Books. Guess who he is bringing to town this Friday? Are you a fan of the A&E and network TV series Longmire? Well, Craig Johnson is the novelist who created Walt Longmire. He is the guest of honor at this Friday's Literary Southwest meeting, and we'll have Jim Natal to talk all about that after the bottom of the hour. So a really interesting show for you today. Want to let you know that this being Tuesday, you know what that means, Tuesday Night Classics. And boy, what a classic it is tonight at the Harkins 14 and the Harkins 6 in Sedona at 7 o'clock for only $5. Titanic on the big screen. You'll be the king of the world, as James Cameron put it when he won the Oscar for Best Picture. So stick around, because we've got Francois Gautron just around the corner on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 11:30 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM. In Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. Streaming live around the world at KQNA.com.
Stay warm and comfortable all winter long with Gettles High Desert Mechanical. When it comes to fast, reliable service, the guys and gals at Gettles get it. Building, remodeling, or just making sure your heating and air conditioning is performing properly. Call Gettles, and their highly trained service techs will keep your furnace system running at peak efficiency. Avoid disappointments and future regrets. Don't settle. Call Gettles, G-O-E-T-T-L-S. Visit GettlesHDM.com, now offering plumbing repair and service.
Made to Order is more than simply the best cleaning company, because we offer more than all the rest. Sometimes you need more than just a cleaning service. So Made to Order now provides house and dog sitting, carpet and window cleaning, and property maintenance. Let us know how we can help you. We're your local, trusted, bonded, and insured cleaning service. For your free estimate, call us today at 928-899-8518 or go to PrescottMadeToOrder.com.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Will you be my Valentine?
Bruce, what does Valentine's Day have to do with Cottonwood Area Transit? After all, it's a sweet ride every day with Cat.
Rudy, life is like a box of chocolates. Every day with Cottonwood Area Transit routes through Clarkdale, Verde Village, and 26 locations in Cottonwood. With Verde Links, it's a quick and easy trip to Sedona every day.
Don't forget our connectors to Camp Verde and Greyhound through Yavapai Nation Transit.
That's why you're a smooth operator, Rudy.
And I'm taking my sweetheart on the Verde Links to Sedona.
Visit CottonwoodAZ.gov for Cottonwood Area Transit and make every day a sweet ride.
Hi, this is Suzanne Springer at Prescott True Value Hardware. It's a chilly winter and you're cooped up inside. Instead of wishing it was warm enough to do something outside, try a DIY home improvement project.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Give your space a New Year's makeover without blowing the budget. Discover the answer to your storage problems. Hardware, paint, tools, and friendly service at Prescott True Value Hardware on Miller Valley Road, where we believe behind every resolution is a true value.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
We are back live at 2:04. As you know from being a regular listener of this show, we have a lot of great guests who become guest speakers at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. Today is certainly no exception. We are very honored to have Mr. Francois Gautron. He will be the guest speaker tomorrow at ERAU. That is at 7:30 at the ERAU lower hangar that's next to the bookstore. To call Mr. Gautron a military historian would be to sell him quite a bit short. He has researched this material all of his life. As I mentioned coming in, he has a personal library. I said 500 books. Now it's closer to 600, right, sir?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my goodness. So let me ask you this. The primary focus of your talk at ERAU will be about gliders, a worldwide new weapon. Now, for those of us who have seen the old newsreels of war battle footage, you don't picture gliders as a part of that. So tell us what role they played.
Well, the gliders were very, very important. So first of all, they've been developed by the Germans and the Russians. Mm-hmm. And finally, when the war broke out, as the very first glider operation, as assault glider operation done successfully by the Germans in 1940 in Belgium at Eben-Emael Fort, then the British and the American look at this new type of action, and finally the German duplicate their successful operation when they took over Crete, and finally it was a kind of an alarm for the American and the British to start to develop the gliders. Relatively easy for the British because they already used gliders, and they were using the gliders essentially to transport equipment and to supply equipment. They had made a pretty sizable gliders, such as the Orsa glider, which could carry about 28 men or a jeep, and eventually a jeep and a gun. So about 8,000 pounds of load, which is very serious. And then for the United States, we had absolutely no gliders developed at all at the time. So that's something we had pretty much to invent from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So the Germans were developing the gliders since the 30s. Actually, the very first glider the Germans developed was in 1927, more for public attraction. And finally, it's in 1933 that they start to create gliders for military purposes. The reason is the Treaty of Versailles. The Germans were not allowed to develop any air force, so could not develop any air force. They then start to look towards the gliders and the possibility of using the gliders for military purposes, not only transporting equipment, but also be able to assault position. And the greatest thing about using gliders for assault position was that for Eben-Emael in Belgium, which was known, built in 1926, and known to be the only fortification in Europe which could not be taken by infantry troops. And they were expecting, if that happened, the enemy forces will need about 4, 5, maybe 6 months before they could break the defense. And finally, using the gliders, this fort was taken in about 45 minutes.
This is an amazing accomplishment because, for one thing, the gliders, they had no engines of their own, right?
Motorless plane.
How did they get up in the air, and how were they controlled?
So they were towed by, as our most famous and well-known glider, the CG-4A, also named Waco. Nothing to do with Waco, Texas, but it's a contraction of Weather Company in Troy, Ohio. Okay. And they were towed by C-47. So C-47 is a military version of the DC-3. And then they were towed by a rope of about 300 feet long, which was a nylon rope, and they've been hooked on either side, so at the rear of the C-47, and then at the front of the glider, and that's how they were towing the gliders up in the air, and their gliding speed could reach about 120 miles per hour, Altitude vary essentially according to the weather condition, because those planes, don't forget, a glider is made of what? If we talk about an American glider, it's made of a little tubular structure, little pieces of wood and canvas. But it's incredible when you think of the numbers of the spare parts. You need about 70,000 spare parts to make a glider. That's include the biggest part of the steel part, including the smallest crew, but 70,000 parts. That's also explained the price of the glider, because you would say, okay, it's made of wood, it's made of metal a little bit, and canvas, it should be very cheap. Well, when the weather companies start to want to sell the gliders, they were asking $50,000 for a glider. And for sure, $50,000 back then in 1940, it's a huge amount of money. So then the Ford company came and says, well, mass production, we can do 50% less. But even so, $25,000 is very expensive.
Wow.
Now, the average price went from $14,000 to $16,000 a piece. And that's pretty much for the Waco gliders. But you need to understand, it takes a lot of time. Today, if you want to build a British glider, like the Orsa, that will be 1 year full-time work of 8 men.
Oh, my goodness.
Full year, 8 men. And if you want to build a glider, it's going to be 6 months of construction.
So once you get it up in the air, how is it controlled?
Well, it was controlled by a pilot and a co-pilot. So they had their flying instruments, and they were just it was relatively complicated, because there's two ways to glide a glider. Is first of all, when you are in towing position. Mm-hmm. So you have a very specific angle to respect. So that means you have about 30 degrees to move right and left behind the towing plane, about 20 degrees up and down, and you also have to work on your rope, because you don't want to always keep a full tension on the rope.
Mm-hmm.
So that's make things extremely complicated. And then comes the release of the glider. So the release of the glider was relatively complicated, because then the towing plane had to slow down a little bit. Then the glider had to recover a little bit of altitude to make this rope loose, because it was too much tension. The glider pilot could not release the rope. So give a little loose of the rope, and then the glider pilot, after the glider plane lights a green light, that's how they knew they were reaching their landing zone.
Mm-hmm.
So then they removed themselves, and then the C-47 was increasing its speed, and then dropped the rope much further. And then the glider now is on its own. So the glider pilot and co-pilot were very well experimented in avionic, because mm-hmm. they also used the idea later on when we knew how to use the glider, because it took a bit to learn to use the glider, then glider pilot were usually co-pilot on the C-47, and C-47 pilot used to train as a co-pilot on gliders,
mm-hmm.
and usually create a team, and they usually like to fly together. So they're new to each other very well, and that's very important. So now we've got the glider on its own. So the stalling speed of a glider is 50 miles. So then that's the mean from 120, they have to reduce the speed. So they start to do all kinds of move to land. So we are now in very technical process, which I will not develop here. But the way, usually the 90-degree angle to land in a field was the one which was used the most. But those fields, if it's in Sicily, the fields were pretty wide, pretty large, but with stone walls.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is you need to stop before the stone wall. Now, if you come to Normandy, there is no stone walls much, but the famous hedgerows could be 50 feet tall.
Sure.
The fields were extremely small. And then if you get during the Operation Repulse in Belgium, you also have to pay attention. It was snow. And then we have the Operation Varsity in Germany. Then they were marsh and the Rhein River. So you don't want to land in that.
Yeah.
So that's why there was a huge amount of work done on shortening as much as possible the landing distance of those gliders. And now comes the crash. When you look glider on the fields, it says, oh, my gosh, 70-80% crash. In fact, there is two crash. You've got the crash killing them all, and then you've got the landing crash.
Yeah.
So if I take the example of the operation that's, which is the most well-known in the United States, talking about the gliders, is Normandy. On D-Day and the following day, there were 512 gliders used. So now, talking of how many crashes killing everybody or a part of the man, 7. So it's not much.
How about that?
So now, many of those gliders look like broken, lost a wing, lost a part of the fuselage, man, branches in the cockpit and that kind of thing. But that's also talking with those veterans, glider pilot veterans, sometime when they were really slipping on the grass, they would try to find a kind of a tree trunk, find an apple tree, find a German asparagus or things like this, and to block the glider with their wing. So then for sure they would break the wing, but that's how they could break.
I'll be darned. Well, we're just getting started with Francois Gautron. He is the guest speaker tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at ERAU's Lower Hangar next to the bookstore. He'll be talking about gliders, and we'll be talking a lot more with Francois Gautron in just a moment on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 11:30 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and we stream live around the world at KQNA.com. Don't go away.
That's the sound of healthy hearts. Music to the ears of heart experts at Yavapai Regional Medical Center's James Family Heart Center. Our leading cardiologists and skilled heart specialists work together to detect and treat valve disease. In fact, YRMC's Heart Center is a national model for valve disease diagnosis and treatment. Our team creates customized care plans based on each patient's unique health profile. Our treatments combine leading-edge technology with the latest non-surgical procedures. This means you or someone you love can get back to an active and healthier life sooner. A national care model for valve disease, world-class technology, the latest non-surgical procedures, and amazing heart specialists. All at the James Family Heart Center at YRMC. Inspired by you.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec B Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
Have you noticed the air is cleaner in Northern Arizona? Let me tell you about Patriot Disposal's fleet of alternative fuel trucks. Patriot Disposal's research and development team has built and operates Northern Arizona's only compressed natural gas fuel station and fleet of CNG trucks. These trucks do not use any diesel. Zero diesel. That reduces air and noise pollution. Call the only trash hauling service to bring this clean, quiet, and friendly technology to your neighborhood. Patriot Disposal, 775-9000 or 203-9995.
listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
We are back live at 2:20, and coming up at about 2:35, we have Jim Natal to talk about Craig Johnson, the creator of the Walt Longmire character. He'll be in town for the Walt Longmire Mystery Series as part of Yavapai College's Literary Southwest, along with Peregrine Books. Right now, of course, we are back with Francois Gautron. He is the guest speaker tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock at the ERAU Lower Hangar next to the bookstore. Fascinating topic about the role of gliders in World War II. Mr. Gautron, not only are you very, very extremely well-versed in this, but you've got a wonderful book called The Colors of War. Tell us about that.
Well, this is a book on which I use a lot about stories of my grandma. So my grandma had an amazing life. She was born in Russia, and then she was the daughter of a Russian Jewish mother, and her father was a Prussian colonel into the Tsar army.
How about this?
And then comes the horrible years of 1905, 08, 010, and finally she had to escape Russia after all her family was slaughtered by the Bolshevik, by those Bolshevik forces. And that's a story about how she, with her elder sister, the only survivors of five children, made their way to France and get into Paris, and then were supported by the local Russians in Paris. And then with the second move of World War I, with the German forces heading to Paris, they were so afraid of soldiers, then they decided to come to Normandy. And they end up in Normandy for a few years. She met her husband, my grandfather, who was the survivor son of two other brothers who died in World War I. Mm-hmm. One was missing in action. The other one was gas and went back home. And after about a year of suffering, and he finally died from gas poisoning. And then the family, my grandpa, mother, and father were not doing too well, and they end up to be alone, just my grandma and my grandpa. So that's the whole story of a man and a woman from two different cultures, with all the difficulties of the culture, because we usually say expression, oh, she was born with a silver spoon in her mouth. I would say my grandma was probably born with a gold spoon in her mouth.
Wow.
So she was extremely educated. Think about that. She was, of course, speaking Russian, but she was also speaking German, and she was speaking a little bit of English. So, and then she had to learn about the French. So that's tell you how educated she was. Mm-hmm. And then she come into that farm, and she finally started a new life. Be a farmer with all the difficulties which goes to the farming condition. Just imagine such a woman who, I would say, never really worked with her hands until she gets about 18. And then she now has to feed the chickens and feed the cows and milk the cows. You can imagine culturally it's really a hard thing. Plus a religion. She was Jewish.
Oh.
And the first thing her friends, Russian Jewish friends in Paris, told her, in France, never say you're different, never say you're Jewish. This is a real anti-Semitic country. So it's, with all those difficulties, she managed to make her way, and then she married this guy who she could not really have much confidence. She got fear of him. And there's amazing stories that I refer in the book. The first days and the first night when she went alone, and she had to block a chair behind the door. She was so afraid of this guy because, I mean, he was a French soldier just coming back from the front line. So brutality in the way of speaking, brutality in the way of attitude. So she was terrified.
Sure.
And finally, love apparently arrange a lot of things, and they had that nice family of three children. So now we come into something very interesting, and that's the reason of Colors of Wars, because there is nothing black, nothing white, but all kinds of nuances. Then, as a Russian mother, she sought to educate her son the Russian way. And the eldest son is usually the one who is the most important son. So really 100% educated by my grandma. And this son was educated to be anti-communist. Whatever the cost, whatever the price, it was anti-communist, period. And then he went to the French army, of course, being French, and finally the World War II broke out. And he was on this famous Maginot Line, come back from the Maginot Line, educated also by a grandpa who was pro-French army, because in World War One. I mean, the French army was one of the best army. In World War II, that's a totally different story. So it was a little brainwashed by the grandpa, I mean, by his father, sorry, who was saying the French army is the best army, the most powerful, they have the best tanks, they have the best this and that. Mm-hmm. And finally, when they were facing this German invasion, they realized they were so weak, unprepared. Their equipment was so obsolete, looking at the German equipment, mm-hmm. and they started really thinking about that. And then back home, he started to say to his father, hey, wait a minute, this is not what you said. The Germans are not that obsolete. They are mm-hmm. much better. They have much better equipment. They're great soldiers. And conflicts start between father and son. So much conflict that my uncle started to go on his own, and going on his own was exposed to the Germans more and more, and also attracted by the Germans being anti-communist. And if he really want to go ahead and protect his family from the communism threat, the only way was not to join the French army entirely defeated, but maybe join the winners. And that's how he decided to join, first of all, the LVF, and then after that, he finally joined the French Charlemagne Division, which is no more and no less than an SS division.
How about that?
So he went to the SS division, and he died in Pomerania. And his younger brother was still at home. A week after D-Day, joined the 734th American Tank Battalion.
Amazing. Well, how can our listeners... Now, how many books have you written, by the way?
Well, actually, this is the second one.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is in French, so it doesn't count.
Sure. Well, here.
So this one is in English.
Well, in addition to your speaking tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock at ERAU, the Lower Hangar, how can our listeners get a copy of Colors of War?
I'm going to have books with me.
That's even better. That is wonderful.
So like this, I can dedicate the books.
Now, I don't know how much time you have spent here in Prescott, but we have a lot of military retirees here. You're going to have a lot of people want to talk about World War II and the subsequent wars with you when you talk tomorrow night. It's going to be a wonderful chat. It will be at the ERAU Lower Hangar next to the bookstore, 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Military historian Francois Guatron, be prepared to buy that book. It's called Colors of War. You will not regret that. We really thank you for being a part of today's show. We wish we had another hour because we could easily fill it with you. Thank you so much for joining us, and knock 'em dead tomorrow night at ERAU.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Stay tuned, because we're going to take a check of local and state news and weather, and then talk to our buddy Jim Natal about the creator of the Walt Longmire Mystery Series. He's coming to town this weekend. That's on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 11:30 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. We stream live around the world at KQNA.com.
Wallach & Volk Mortgage Lending is with you 100% of the way. which is why Wallach & Volk offers great rates with our 100% financing program. And you pay absolutely no money down. For more information about our extraordinary 100% financing program with zero money down, call us at 445-8730 or search us on the web at Wallach & Volk Mortgage.
License number 00128295, LNS number 162209, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Have you looked at your investments and asked yourself, should I sell and lock in my gains or just hold on and hope for the best? Hi, I'm John Dombrowski, president of Grand Canyon Planning Associates and host of The Word on Wealth. This and other questions I hear every day, but unfortunately, all too often these decisions are made on emotion and not logic. So how do you take emotion out of your financial decisions? To start, you have to have a plan. Let me help you start making sound decisions. Call me at 480-991-1055. Schedule a complimentary financial consultation. Let's discuss and discover the right plan for you to create a successful financial outcome. That's 480-991-1055. Visit us at GrandCanyonPlanning.com. I'm John Dombrowski reminding you, don't run out of money before you run out of time.
Securities and advisory services offered through Client One Securities, LLC, a member of FINRA and SIPC, and an investment advisor. Grand Canyon Planning Associates, LLC, and Client One Securities, LLC are not affiliated.
We're KQ&A.
Thanks for making the Talk of the Quad Cities KQ&A your choice for your Tuesday the 11th. I'm DJ Phone with a check of local and state news and weather together. Brought to you by Wallach & Volk. Prescott officials are planning for a large crowd for this afternoon's council meeting.
On the agenda is adoption of a resolution supporting the Second Amendment of the Constitution, the right to bear arms. Council chambers on South Cortez Street has a legal capacity limit of 150 people. City officials have made arrangements to place overflow crowds in the library founder suite, which has a capacity of 110 people. Public comments will be allowed for 2 minutes per person. Anyone who wishes to speak must fill out a comment card. Signs, banners, or backpacks aren't allowed inside City Hall for safety reasons. There's a study session that starts at 2:30 with a voting session to follow at 3. Anyone who arrives before 3 is asked to remain in the hallway until the voting session begins. I'm Bill Monroe reporting.
Partly sunny and cold, warming today to only 45 in Prescott, Prescott Valley, Chino Valley, and Dewey-Humboldt. Chilling after bedtime to a mostly clear 25, warming to 51 tomorrow, 54 Thursday through Saturday, with a 30% chance for rain and snow showers late Friday night and Saturday morning. In Cottonwood and the Verde Valley, clearing today to a high near 54, chilling overnight to about 28, then continued sunny toward the weekend with highs tomorrow near 59, Thursday through Saturday in the low 60s, with those same weekend rain and snow showers. This news and weather, a service of Wallach & Volk. I'm DJ Phone on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 and 95.5 FM, KQ&A. Like us on Facebook and listen live worldwide at KQ&A.com and stay tuned. Q&A will continue in just a moment on KQ&A.
Do not paint your own house. If you paint your house, you will spill the paint. If you spill the paint, you will have to replace your floor. To replace your floor, you will pay the floor man enough money to go to Hawaii. Don't pay your floor man to go to Hawaii. Call Century Painting. We will paint your house, not spill the paint, save you money, and send you to Hawaii. So call Century Painting, 778-2374, or go to CenturyPainting.com.
There's a lot of propane companies out there, but not many that have been around as long as Yavapai Bottle Gas since 1987. Same owners, same values, and same fair pricing. Yavapai Bottle Gas has lots of options, too, like their pre-buy program or budget payment plans. You can always count on Yavapai Bottle Gas for straightforward, professional propane service where you want it, when you want it. Give your friends at Yavapai Bottle Gas a call at 776-9007.
Hi, Jim. We're going live in about 10 seconds.
You're
listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
We are back live at 2:35, and after several attempts over the last several months, by golly, we finally got Jim Natal on the air. How you doing, Jim?
I am doing fine, DJ. It worked.
Can you believe that? The gremlins have been killed, so we are safe this time. Hey, Jim, we've talked a lot of times over the past few years about some of the great authors and poets you brought to the Literary Southwest series at Yavapai College. Anybody who is a fan of the TV series Longmire is in for a treat this time, aren't they?
Oh, they are. And anyone who's never seen the author of the books that TV series is based on, Craig Johnson, is in for a treat too. He's definitely one of my favorite authors and one of the most entertaining readers that we've ever featured.
Now, his latest novel is called Land of Wolves. That's the 15th in the Walt Longmire mystery series. The Cold Dish was the first Longmire book. That was an award finalist to the French edition, won a major award. And this whole series, of course, is the basis for that hit A&E and Netflix drama. Let me ask you this, since you're a publisher and an editor, what are some of the challenges in converting a novel into a TV series?
Well, you know, one time when Craig was in Los Angeles and I had a chance to go see him, and actually I had a chance to go out to have dinner with him, with a couple of the TV people who were involved in the production. And this was back probably around the second year of the series. The series ran for 6 years. And there was some discussion about that. And when Craig, this will be the second time that Craig's come to Literary Southwest. And in fact, he's only the second author we've ever featured twice.
Wow.
Alberto Rios, the poet laureate of Los Angeles, of Arizona, was the first, and we featured him because he was the first reader ever when the series celebrated its 10th anniversary, so we brought him back for that. But anyway, Craig talked about that the last time he was at Yavapai College, and I think part of the problems are not so much the creative part, it's the business part of it. In terms of, you know, getting the casting right and putting those packages together that the producers have to do and the networks have to agree on before anything would ever get off the ground. And once they've kind of got the packages in order, then people kind of proceed. And the authors don't. I've talked to a number of our authors who have had films made from their books. Mm-hmm. Susan Orlean, Chitra Deva Karuni was another one. The Mistress of Spices was made into a film, and you know they're not that involved. Although Craig was, in fact, he even had a little bit part on one of the Longmire episodes. You have to look fast, but he's in there.
The reason I ask is because I've read a lot of books from scriptwriters in Hollywood who lament that once they sell their novel or their screenplay to a studio, it's pretty much out of their hands. And
some exceptions to that, and I think a lot of it has to do, especially in the mystery genre, a lot of it has to do with how prominent the mystery writer is. It's kind of like J.K. Rowling. She maintained ironclad control over the Harry Potter books, you know, and she did everything and owned everything and oversaw the whole productions of the movies. Craig was involved, I know, and he did have some say, but as with so many of mystery novels that are created, that are, you know, put into a movie form, they don't necessarily, especially from a series, they don't necessarily follow the individual books. You know, sometimes they combine books. Or sometimes,
Okay, sure.
I mean, even James Bond is that way. I mean, some of the James, besides taking the title sometimes, and, you know, sometimes on a James Bond movie, the title is the only thing that relates to the book.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, okay, Quantum of Solace, sure, we'll use that. That was a short story title.
Wow.
You know, and then they made the whole movie around. It had nothing to do with what Ian Fleming had written.
Sure.
And I've heard Michael Connelly talk about the Bosch series. And he had refused for a long time to let his work be used for TV or movies.
Mm-hmm.
And he finally did, and they made that movie Bloodwork, and I don't know how happy he was with that. But when the Bosch series was proposed to him, he said, when I heard it, when I was at the Writers Guild Theater in Los Angeles, and he was there with the star, Titus, the star of the Bosch series, and they were talking about how it got put together. And Michael Connelly, you know, who is about the number one mystery writer in the country in terms of sales and, you know, in terms of power over his own work, he interviewed people, and he finally decided on this Scandinavian team of producers and directors. If you look at the beginning of the Bosch series, which is on Amazon Prime, and it's wonderful, but if you look, you know, all these Scandinavian names are in there because he felt that they were going to honor the work and treat it right.
And, you know, right now I'm reading the book The Big Goodbye about Robert Towne writing the script for Chinatown. And one of the things that struck me was how once they found a producer in a studio, all of a sudden the people started saying, who is this guy? Get him out of here. Speaking of the writer of it, who's the reason it exists. And, of course, as you know, any time you sell your script or your novel to a studio, suddenly your long-form novel now has to be rewritten to accommodate commercial breaks every 11 and a half minutes, right?
Right, especially, you know, on TV, of course.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking about that with one of our more recent readers, Janet Fitch, who wrote these wonderful novels about the Russian Revolution. But I was thinking, how would you even film this?
Yeah.
You know, how could you even, and because she had had two of her first two novels were made into movies. You know, White Oleander and what was it called? Painted Black was the second one. And White Oleander was an incredibly good movie and actually followed the book. Painted Black, pretty much too, but I was thinking, Janet, I don't know how they would ever make a movie out of this.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have to be that, like that Warren Beatty movie, Red.
Yeah.
It would have to be some kind of sprawling
epic, three and a half hours,
were the books.
Sure. Sure. In the case of Craig Johnson with his newest book, Land of Wolves, being the 15th, how do you maintain a series of 15 books and not only stay creative but also keep consistency?
Well, you know, it's hard. And, you know, I know you read a lot of mysteries, too. And when you follow, that'd be a great question. I think I'd maybe ask him about that, you know, because, you know, most of these writers, are mystery writers, are on, the big ones at least, are on contract. And as you know, they crank out a new book about every year, you know, pretty much like clockwork. Now, Craig travels an immense amount. He's so generous with his time. I don't know how he ever has time to do this, but I will say this to those who may be listening who are fans of his work and know his work or have read a few of his novels. This new one is one of his best. I was just blown away by how good it was.
Now,
you know, and he hadn't lost steam after 15.
Now, of course, the Walt Longmire series, you know, is part mystery, part Western, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Now, with your connections in Los Angeles and with what you know from your frequent visits to Prescott for the Literary Southwest series, when is Hollywood going to wake up to the fact that it might be time to wake up the Western genre again and maybe start filming here?
Well, you know, they've snuck in a couple of Westerns recently that, well, of course, there's the, what's the one that they just did on HBO? that's kind of a, you know, the science fiction Western.
I'm drawing a blank.
Wait a minute. Not the Wild West. Oh, man. Anyway, I'll come back to that. Anyway, but they had that, and that's kind of like a animatronic Western or, you know, kind of cyborg Western in a way, and it's very strange to see that, but they've kind of, you know, enhanced it with science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was, what, Deadwood?
Sure.
Yeah, I think maybe they're not doing movies as much as a TV. It's quite possible, you know, and Longmire, as you say, it's a modern Western, you know.
Would it be Westworld you're thinking of?
Westworld.
There we go.
It,
was
yes,
that the Yul Brynner one?
It was. I think it was originally.
Yeah.
But now it's there's all kinds of people in that.
How about that?
In fact, a number of the I've seen a few of the actors from the Longmire series mm-hmm. in that.
Oh,
especially
really?
The Native American actors. It's interesting.
Now, when people contact you, since you are an editor and a publisher, when people contact you with manuscripts, what are some of the first things that eliminate the manuscript from you taking it seriously as a possible book?
Well, I would have to qualify that answer in that my press, it's a small press, Conflux Press, I would say we do 80% poetry books.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing I'm looking for is quality. You know, confidence in voice, something fresh, new, skill as a writer or
sure.
a poet. Although many of the books we do are first books of poetry for people, and you know, it's so hard to get a book of poems published. Not that it's easy getting a novel published. Even what they call mid-list writers, you know, people who aren't Craig Johnson or Michael Connelly, but who are good writers, it's hard nowadays. You know, the whole business model is strange. But, you know, but literature still is strong. But what I look for is pure quality. And, you know, there's all these things you get from writing workshops mm-hmm. and articles and Poets and Writers magazine about, like, you know, it's not even your first 30 pages anymore. Yeah. It's your first 12 pages or just your first page that would get you noticed or not accepted, you know, rejected.
You know, I see, I was in the course of reading mysteries over the years, you know, we know that Raymond Chandler, of course, wrote his books after observing the seamy underbelly of Los Angeles. And I look at Craig Johnson, the Walt Longmire creator. He lives in a Wyoming town with a population of 25.
Right, right. And for him, coming to Prescott this week is like taking a tropical vacation.
Yeah.
It was, we were talking about, like, dates he wanted to come, and mm-hmm. he, you know, I offered a number, and he chose February. I think that was the reason to get out of Wyoming, you know, in the winter there. But I guess I say he travels a lot. I think he's up in Colorado right after he's in Prescott, mm-hmm. and then I think he's going to France. He's very big in Europe.
I can see by the awards he has won, including a French edition awards. This is obviously a worldwide published phenomenon.
Oh, and, you know, mysteries, American, especially. Well, his books are standouts not only for the writing, mm-hmm. but for the settings, and, you know, and people in France or Germany, you know, they just love that.
Oh, sure,
know, the
sure.
West and all that. And I think he is. If I remember correctly, he's invited back every year to a big mystery writing conference in Lyon. And I think that's where he's going after Colorado, is back to that. And he's been there a number of years in a row. So, and a lot of our mystery writers are very popular. I remember walking down the street. It was Boulevard Saint-Germain in Paris one mm-hmm. time, not too long ago. And there in the front window was Jim Salas's most recent book. Jim Salas is an incredible mystery writer and writer who lives in Phoenix and teaches at ASU. And there was his new book, and he had won the big French Mystery Award. I took a picture and sent it to him, you know, this window display. And but that's not uncommon. You know, a lot of the mystery writers, you know, my sister-in-law, who lives in Geneva and is, you know, Swiss, she is way ahead of me on all these mystery books. You know, and they just love these American mystery books.
Wow. And, of course, Craig Johnson will be – now, you'll be with them at Yavapai College Friday, correct?
Correct. It's Friday night at 7 in the main Yavapai College Library community room.
Mm-hmm.
And I would from advance kind of buzz, I would advise getting there early.
Yeah, this is going to be a big one. And also this
– though it's Valentine's Day, it may or may not affect our audience size, but we're anticipating a very large crowd.
Well, then again, if you're single, you may find a fellow literary lover. Who knows?
Right, and if not, we've got some Valentine's Day refreshments
there
out
you
for
go.
People. So.
There you go. And this is also co-sponsored with Hasayampa Institute and our friends at Peregrine Book Company, correct?
Correct, yeah. And Peregrine will have Craig's Land of Wolves for sale, mm-hmm. as well as some of his earlier books.
This is going to be just a terrific event. And then coming up in April, you will be hosting, I believe, Rebecca Skloot, correct?
Right. And this, another major one. We have a big spring this year.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the Rebecca Skloot event, it has some firsts. It'll be the first event that we're going to hold in the Performing Arts Center on the Yavapai College campus. And we're anticipating a pretty big crowd for that, very big, in fact, because it was the first book in Yavapai College's new Common Reads program.
Mm-hmm.
And they distributed hundreds of copies of that book to classes and instructors and all around. And that's been in classroom discussions and so on. And we were able to get Rebecca to come, and so she'll be there to discuss the immortal life of Henrietta Lacks, which, speaking of movies, was made into an HBO film by Oprah Winfrey.
How about that? Wow. Small world, isn't it?
Yeah. And so we're real excited about Rebecca coming, too. And I have never met her, but she is just so smart, and she has a very, very interesting background,
mm-hmm.
going back to being a veterinary assistant and all these jobs she's had, but she's always been a writer and a journalist, and for this book, a scientific researcher, basically.
Well, don't forget, Valentine's Day, 7 o'clock at Yavapai College in the Susan Webb Community Room in Building 19, Room 147. Jim Natal will be there along with Craig Johnson, the creator of the Walt Longmire series. Jim, as always, a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for calling in. We look forward to your next visit.
All right, thank you. And admission is free that night, too.
That's even better.
Yeah, thank you.
Talk about a Valentine's Day treat. There you go. Thanks so much, Jim.
All right.
Stay
bye-bye.
Tuned because we're going to take some final thoughts here and let you know who's going to be on the show tomorrow on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 11:30 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and we stream live around the world at kqna.com.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec B Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
Hello, this is Mark Goligoski. I feel fortunate to have been raised in Prescott, where I have also raised my family. School is my business, and supporting our public schools is everyone's business. We are always grateful when you pay your taxes, you choose to donate to PUSD and keep your tax dollars local. Your donations of up to $200 as an individual and $400 as a couple will fund all our extracurricular activities. Please go online to PrescottSchools.com and continue to invest in the future of Prescott. PUSD, where every child, every day matters.
Prescott, the Quad Cities, and Cottonwood. Are you ready for some honest debate? I'm Ben Shapiro, and I'm excited to be part of KQNA's lineup of live talk. My show is the fastest-growing conservative talk show and podcast in America. Our show is fast-moving, hilarious, hard-hitting, and comprehensive. Join me every weekday at 3 as we confront the liberal culture of fear and intimidation head-on with real facts and honest debate. Join us weekdays at 3 for the Ben Shapiro Show on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQNA.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents
and Doug. Welcome to Burger Palace. What would you like today?
Yes, I'd like to tell you that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
This is Burger Palace. Do you want any food?
Yes, one palace party meal.
No, Limu, they won't put insects on a burger.
No, you can't talk to the manager.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
When you're diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer,
a million questions flood your mind.
How can this be happening?
Am I going to be able to work?
What's a subtype?
What do I do now?
We know.
We went through it too.
But once you start to understand your options,
you can partner with your doctor
and find ways to face MBC on your own terms.
Visit findyourmbcvoice.com and learn how to speak up and have a more informed conversation with your doctor.
Some questions have answers.
Visit findyourmbcvoice.com to find some of yours.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
And speaking of Valentine's Day coming up, it is Friday, you know, guys, don't forget. This Friday and Saturday at the Jim and Linda Lee Planetarium at ERAU, it's romance among the stars. The universe may be pretty cold and empty, but it's not without its spots of fire, fury, and frenzy. Join them as they travel across the cosmos to visit some of the most romantic spots and situations in space. And by the end of your journey, you'll find yourself right at the heart of the matter, which may not be quite where you first expect to end up. So, Romance Among the Stars, Friday and Saturday at the Jim and Linda Lee Planetarium. Hey, stay tuned now for Ben Shapiro, followed at 4 by Talk of the Town. Prescott Valley, join me right back here tomorrow with authors of books perfect for capturing that Valentine's Day spirit, including the book Let's Be Weird Together. How can you turn that one down? That's Q&A Wednesday at 2, when I will see you on the radio.
You've been listening to Q&A on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by High Country Rec V Center, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Prescott College. The views expressed on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Q&A with DJ Phone on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.